Hello, this is Ellis Prince, the pastor of the Gallery Church of Baltimore. I want to thank you for joining our podcast today. I hope this teaching inspires you and gives you courage to pursue Jesus Christ. I hope that this is just the beginning of a conversation between you and Jesus. If we can help you in any way, please feel free to reach out. Now let's get back to the podcast.
So I'll be reading James 4, 13 through 17. Now listen, you who say, today or tomorrow we will go to this or that city, spend a year there, carry on business and make money. Why, you do not even know what will happen tomorrow. What is your life? You are a mist that appears for a little while and then vanishes. Instead, you ought to say, if it is the Lord's will, we will live and do this or that. As it is, you boast in your arrogant schemes. All such boasting is evil. If anyone then knows the good they ought to do and doesn't do it, it is sin for them. Bless the reading of his word.
Thank you, Ms. Jones. Well, good morning, everybody. My name is Charlie, and I am serving as the interim teaching pastor while Pastor Ellis is getting his much-needed rest, as Lana mentioned, and super excited and honored to have been hanging out with you guys these last several weeks. Over the course of our time together, we've been walking through the book of James. And James is very, and we've said this over and over, he's straightforward. Is it one of these? I got a backup? It's good? Okay. James is very straightforward. It's like a coach. It's not interested in your feelings, your emotions, how you know. Well, James, that's very harsh. To call me a sinner and a fool and an idiot and listen to this, listen, pay attention. But that's what James is. He's Jesus' younger brother. He can talk to us any way he wants to. But today, he's going to continue to get a little bit more practical. He's not very cerebral because he's not interested in you in having to think and try to figure all this stuff out. And today we're going to look at a question that I have gotten so often as a pastor. So often. And it's this question. Pastor Charlie, how do I figure out the purpose for my life? What is God's will for my life? And I feel like I'm not in God's perfect will for my life. What am I supposed to do? Am I supposed to marry this person? Am I supposed to go to this school? Am I supposed to take this job? And listen, this question is universal. White, black, rich, old, rich, poor, young, old. Everybody is trying to figure out, is this God's plan? Now, I love it because Drake made a song about it. And so, you know, we can sing about God's plan all we want now, right? And many of us would think, oh, okay, God's plan is just that I would be, you know, everything would go well in my life, everything. Well, if you've been a Christian for more than 2.5 seconds, maybe 3, you'll realize that kind of version of thinking that God's plan is just that I will have an easy, breezy life isn't really real. How do we know that? Because James starts out first thing out of his mouth. Hey, guys, how's it going? It's me, your boy James. I'm here talking to y'all out there. When you go through trials, consider it pure joy because, what happened to the core? Man, how are you? No, 0 to 100 real quick, as Drake would say. And so we want to address this, but it follows on the heels of what we saw and experienced last week. If you weren't with us last week, it's fine. Just go back to James. And look at chapter 4, because he is saying something very interesting to us, which is we have this tension within. And a lot of times as Christians, it can be easy to forget like how insidious sin is in our heart. So although Christ saved us, although we've been rescued and we're being transformed, we are being transformed. So we've got these desires that don't always match up, but they can feel like the right thing. And we've got these loves and passions, they can feel like the right, but our heart is divided. And so now James is going to take us further into that discussion. Like, okay, let's get practical. Let's not think about, man, my heart and thoughts and feelings and emotions, all that can be wishy-washy. But he goes into a space of planning. He goes into a space of planning. And that's where we get into this idea. What is God's will? What am I supposed to do? And the tension we typically run into of what I've experienced and what I've seen, and maybe you've experienced this, is Christians can be very passive and blame it on God. We can be very passive. I don't know. I'm praying about it. As a church leader who's someone who's served in church since he was a wee little child, this is always one, especially now that I'm a leader. Hey, can you help us do this at church? Well, let me pray about it. Let me pray about it. As if God is just like, man, you know, I don't know if I want you to help serve at the local church that I died for, the bride of Christ. I don't know. So let me think to make sure. Now, okay, there's some extreme examples of that. But, and then we get this passivity. We got the passivity, and then we've got the, I'm going to just do me. I'm going to just figure it out. I got to make plans. I don't have time to be spiritualizing all this stuff. So some of us get trapped. Maybe it's how we were raised, what our experience is. Man, we need to seek God and we need to pray and fast so that we can figure out what it is he's going to tell us. And then we have those that say, man, I can't be worried about all of that. We just need to do something. And I think there's a middle ground that James is going to help us through today. My main question for you is, what or who drives your plans? What is it or who is it that is driving your plans? When you plan something, when you're looking forward, when you're looking ahead, what is it or who is it? Are you the driving force? Is it all about what you want to do, what you need to accomplish? And don't hear me saying like it's an evil, vindictive way. You're just going, man, all right, here's the objectives. This would be great. This is great planning to go, okay, let's reverse engineer. This is our desired outcome. Now let's look backwards and say, what are the steps that we need to take to get to that desired outcome? So that's not bad, wrong, or evil. But who's driving the direction? And instead of that approach, I want to encourage you to seek God's wisdom and direction as you make plans. So it's not devoid of his presence, and it's not just hoping he would send you some divine sign, but it's in cooperation with God. One of the reasons why people get so dissatisfied is because their plans aren't really what God wants them to do, but you never sought God about it. You never sought counsel. You never really involved others in you didn't involve your community. You didn't ask for wisdom. You were just kind of like, no, I really feel like I read this scripture verse this morning, and then I heard this song on the radio, and this confirms what I already wanted to do. So God must be showing me this is the direction. Well, a lot of us have ended up in a ditch because of that kind of thinking. So he wants us to think about the plans we make in life with God and with his purposes in mind, okay? So I think that's James's aim, even though his tone is very aggressive. So there are several things I think we can learn, and here's the first one. Here's the first one if you're taking notes. Number one, you should make plans. You should have plans, okay? So some of y'all are taking a deep breath like, oh my gosh, I thought he was about to take us down a road. No, I'm not going to take you down some crazy road. You should have plans. God wants you to make plans regarding your life. He wants you to make plans and have desires about your career, who you'll marry, what house you'll buy, where you're going to live, all this stuff. He wants you to have a plan. It is foolish, idiotic, dumb to just go through life like just a spiritual jellyfish. Oh, I don't know. I wake up in the morning, I just seek the face of the Lord. And whatever happens today happens. Yeah, well, you're not going to really get too far, okay? So there's a time and a place. Well, I just feel this person. There was the light showing. And he wants you to have plans. He wants you to have plans about your education, your marriage, your finances. Just to name a few things you need to have plans about. He said, but look carefully at what he's talking about in James chapter 4. Listen, I like how the CSB says, he says, come on now. I like that. Come on, let's be serious. You who say, today or tomorrow, we are going to a certain town and we'll stay there for a year, we will do business there, and then we're going to make a profit. You see how you hear the certainty in that statement? Oh, this is just what we're going to do. So people make plans every day, but this guy is probably an entrepreneur. Obviously, he's a go-getter, A-type, as we would say. And he's going, all right, he's really driven. He's organized. He's goal-oriented, all good qualities. He's a great business mind. We need to set up shop here, do it like this, and then this will be the outcome. So, look at the questions. He's answered a lot of the questions we would ask if we're in a conversation. So what do you want to do? I want to make a profit. When do you want to start? Let's start today or tomorrow. He's not procrastinating. He's not vacillating. He wants to get this done soon. Where will you do it? He's going to be in a certain place, in a certain place in mind, and this town and all this and this. How long will this job take? We're going to stay there for a year, then we're going to set this up. He's dedicated. And as a matter of fact, let me pause for a quick second right here. Today is my son's 13th birthday. So give him a little bit of a shout out right there. Okay? He's all extra drippy today. You know what I'm saying? I think that's what the kids say. He's all extra drippy, you know? And if I'm honest, if I'm having a conversation with this guy right now, those are the qualities I want my son to have. All right, where you want to go? I want to do this. When you going to do it? I want to start here. How long are you going to be there? Do it like this. There wasn't man, I don't know, because I listened to this guy, and so I'm going to run a play, and so we're going to try this, and then I'm going to talk to my home. No, he ain't say none of that. He was very clear. So on the surface, there's nothing wrong with these plans. He's thought it through. There's one problem. There's no mention of God at all. Is this what God desires for him to do? Now, that's the last question that we've got to answer. And there was no mention in all of those plans that were being made. But let me make my case even deeper right here. God does want you to make short-term, mid-term, long-term plans. So God is not against planning. I got a few verses for you. Psalm 20, verse 4 says, may he give you the desire of your heart and make all your plans succeed. Just in case you were wondering. Make sure this desire you have is from God before you launch into it. God wants the plans he has given you to succeed. So he's not against you. Proverbs 20:18 says, make plans by seeking advice. Go get some wise counsel. Who you should marry, where you should go. Should I start a church or not? Should I go into ministry? Should I go to college? Should I take this job? Get wise counsel. Proverbs 22 verse 3 says, a sensible man watches for problems ahead and prepares to meet them. He's making plans. The simpleton never looks and suffers the consequences. All right, are you preparing for the future? All good things. So their plans are not the problem. Your life should consist of plans, but those plans should be given and endorsed by God. Okay? Given and endorsed by God. Include God in your plan making. Ask the question, God, what do you want me to do? Now, where we get a little tricky is, and it gets a little mystical and overly spiritual, is then we'll stop all things waiting for a specific sign. Remember I told y'all a story a couple weeks ago where I was just saying, man, I want to plant a church, Where do I go? I don't know where to go. I need to figure it out because I don't want it to fail. That I ask God, and God says to me, hey, I'll go with you wherever you go. That ain't the answer I want from God because I want God to say, no, the plans will succeed if you go here. Well, God don't talk like that. Remember what he said to Abraham? Hey, I want you to leave your family and go, and then I'll tell you. I'll tell you when. Well, wait a second. God, like, am I this direction, that direction? Hey, don't take nobody with you. Just go and I'll tell you. Oh, man. And that would be anxiety inducing in us. And we use spirituality to try to manipulate God into giving us the decisions we want and the plans that we want and clarity. You won't always get it. So this is the second thing we must consider when we look at this passage. Is your life is uncertain. So he's not against plans, but your life is uncertain. You can make plans, have God-given plans, seek godly advice, map it out. Those plans you make can be disrupted and completely destroyed, though. Even the best laid plans get thrown off course every time. James 4:14 puts it, how do you know what your life will be tomorrow? How do you know? How are you so confident? How are you so sure, so certain? Man, tomorrow has enough problems, Jesus said. You need to worry about today. But we're like, nah, so here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to do this. No, we don't know what our life will be. How can you can make your plans, but always remember those plans are not set in stone. They're not established in concrete. You're in cooperation with God as we walk our life out together. So make plans. This is a slide I made. Make plans, but don't set your hope on them. And so much of our disappointment in life, so much of our pain is built on our expectations. They weren't what God promised. Wasn't what God promised, but man, that was our expectation. Look at this. Just ask the person who saved themselves for the right person, then got married, had a couple kids, a dog, a nice house, but now they're divorced because their spouse left. Life is uncertain. That's just how it is. And if I could prepare my children to say, hey, man, yeah, if you make plans, it'll be great. If I don't prepare them for the disappointment that comes even with the best made plans, a lot of us walk away from God because we say, I did this for you and you disappointed me. Just ask the young person who had a bright future ahead of them, but because of someone else's poor decision making, a drunk driver, an accident, anything, their life has been tragically altered. Life is uncertain. Just ask the young family whose dad just lost his job, or the kids who lost their mom or their dad who lost their home. Life is uncertain. And every one of us in here have a story of life being uncertain. So your life is short. Your life is uncertain. It's not for sure. So what do you know? How do you know what your life will be like tomorrow? So you don't know. That's why you need God to be a significant part of your plan making. Because when you're at a loss, you need him for wisdom. Right? And if you paid attention all throughout the book of James, you'll notice ever since chapter 1, he's been going, hey, ask God for wisdom. You don't know what to say. Y'all don't know how to relate to one another. You don't know what to think. Ask God for wisdom. So the whole purpose of our life and deeds, our words and our deeds coming together, is so that we would be wise people in the world. So as Gallery moves forward into the earth and into the city and into the community, I don't want you to be some wishy-washy, I don't know, God this and da-da-da-da-da, or just purpose-driven and this is our vision for what we want to accomplish. No, we are people who integrate our life with God's will. And I don't know what he exactly wants us to do. We just know if we go in this direction, he'll lead us. And it might work and it might not. But who are we walking with? That's right. So even if you walk through the valley of the shadow of death, do you have to fear evil? Because he's with me. That's right. So we don't know what our life will be like tomorrow. So we remember that. We put that in our plan making. Hey, write it in pencil. Because if you put it up there and print it on the wall and say, man, this is exactly how it's going to be, it may not work out like that. And you may stay in a loop of uncertainty, fear, doubt, anger, resentment. Because you wrote it in concrete. And God never did that. Number three, your life is short. James 4:14 goes on to say, your life is like, the New Living Translation said, the morning fog. We didn't even see the morning fog this morning. Right? Others say a vapor, a mist, boiling water. You see that little mist come up above the pot. That's it. It's here. It's gone. So it's here a little while, then it's gone. So this is what it's like. And so I want you to listen to Moses because Moses makes it a little bit more practical. I put a slide up there for you. So listen to Moses. Moses wrote in Psalm 90, verse 10, 70 years. Our days may come to 70 years or 80. Shout out to Miss Joan. Miss Joan is 75. She just had a birthday. So she's beating the odds, folks. You see that? Our days may come to 70 years or 80 if our strength endures. All right? So he's like, man, you don't know. Some will be here today. Some will be gone tomorrow. Whether your life has been filled with a lot of joy or a lot of pain, a mixture of both, your years go by quick. So don't linger in vacillation. Go, just, hey, how about this? How about we try to fail forward? Don't just like, I'm gonna prepare everything and when it's just right, then I will, no, because I don't know how long I have. Well, let's try this because I got a dream. I really want to pursue this and da da da. Yeah, listen, fail in that direction. Let God redirect you. But just go, God, I don't know if tomorrow will be this. I don't know if this job will work out, this interview, this person, this relationship. But you know what? I'm going to try it. And if you continue to give me breadcrumbs, if you continue to give me wisdom and insight, if you continue to walk with me, if you tell me no, turn around, I'll do whatever you ask me to do. Because I don't have a lot of time to what? Waste. I ain't got time. So I ain't going to pick on people. You know, we're at all different stages in here. And it's just like, man, you start getting into, you know, you're over 50% through this game. I mean, you might want to, I'm not going to go there, okay? Number four. Fourth thing we see in this is your life ultimately belongs to God. It's not yours to control. And a lot of time we're going back and forth like this with God. Well, Lord, you're the Lord of my life. You're my Savior. I trust you. I mean, just that word in itself, Jesus Christ, my Lord, he rules over me. I've given my life over to, I've trusted him with my eternal being, my soul, everything. And then we go, hey, let me get that back real quick. Bring it on. Just give it on back because I don't like how this is going. So your life should have plans, but you live and you should live your life with intentionality. Your life is uncertain, but don't get surprised when your plans are derailed because you don't actually own or control your life. James goes on to tell us your life belongs to God. What you ought to say is, what you should say is, if the Lord wants us to, Lord willing, we will live here, we will do this or do that. Otherwise, you're boasting about your own pretentious plans, and such boasting is evil. Couple things. Lord willing, that's a mindset. Lord willing is a mindset. Okay? It's here. It's how we think about our life in relation to God. My life belongs to God, and I want to do his will. I'm in cooperation with him. That's a mindset that we can embrace. Too many of us are in our own way, our own life and mind and brain and way of doing things or how our family trained us or what the world has taught us or how we were educated. And then it's like, I don't know if I can trust God with my life. And we go back and forth and back and forth. So what does this mean? This is not making plans and then asking God to bless those plans. This is seeking God's will before we make plans and saying, God, okay, here's what I see based on what we've gone through together. Here's the pieces that we're working with. I think I see a way forward. I ask for counsel. I'm in community. And this seems right. Do you have this put like huge resistance? Sometimes that resistance can be fear, because we're hitting our threshold for taking a risk maybe or doing something that's uncomfortable. Yeah, that's fine. But it's like, God, everything seems to line up, so I'm going to trust you over my own intuition. You're always filtering your future through, if the Lord wants me to do this, I'll do it. And not he gives me a sign. It's like, no, while we're walking together, we're figuring it out. So sometimes you'll see Paul use the phrase, if the Lord wills, when he's speaking about the future, because he doesn't know. In Acts 18:21, Paul said, he said like this, I will come back to you later, God willing. Romans 1:10, he goes on to say, one of the things I always pray for is the opportunity, God willing, to come at last to see you. I don't know if I'll be able to come back. I don't know if I'll be able to see you. I don't know if we'll be able to execute all these things. Man, but if this is what God wants, I'm all in. So let's walk it out and see what happens. But I'm not going to throw my life away if it doesn't happen, because I'm not the one in control. So listen, embrace the Lord willing mindset. Embrace that as a way of doing life. My life belongs to God, and he's in control of my life. So that another word for that is this, surrender. That's a cuss word for some of you. What? This is my life. I can't just be surrendering. Hey, listen. Things will happen in your life that you will be forced to surrender. Man, this wasn't my plan. This wasn't my expectation. This wasn't the way I thought it would go. This is. Yeah. And if you continue to hold on to that, it will drag you. And many of us are still stuck somewhere out there. We don't know what happened to you. We don't know where you are. We don't know what, but you're still holding on. Life should not be this way. You're right. That's why Jesus had to die, because of sin. It shouldn't be like that. Some of you know a little of my story. 13, the reason why it's my son's birthday is such a huge thing for me, it's because this was the year my dad died when I was 13. So to be healthy and to be able to go, man, I'm really excited because we've got, Lord willing, some time together, is huge. Wow, we're trying to break some things that have happened in the past, right? Man, me and my wife get married young. What happens? She's supposed to sail into the sunset, happily ever after, like the Magic Kingdom. Everything's supposed to be good. Man, within 4 months, my mom died. My wife got sick, and I had to raise my brother and sister. Well, that ain't how you're supposed to start off in the first 6 months of marriage. I don't know if y'all notice this. She's a little bit lighter than I am. She's a little bit lighter, you know what I mean? That's already a big enough issue that we need to continue to navigate. Culture, language, family of origin. If you're married or in a relationship, I don't even care if you got a friend. If you got a friend, relationships are difficult. And so to add all these things, none of those were in the, I didn't write that script. What do we got to remember? Man, Lord willing, I don't know. But Lord, we're walking with you. So the bottom line is this, God is central to all our plans in our life, and we are to acknowledge him in everything that we're doing. So I want you to develop a discipleship life or a way of being with God, not as if he's out there somewhere and then you're constantly kind of throwing him a line, hoping he kind of feeds you back some information, and it's like throwing a bottle in the ocean and hopefully you get the message back. No, think of it as you're walking with him. He's with you at work. He's with you in the day. He's with you in the car. He's with you. So bring him into that rather than like, all right, I'll see you in the morning for about 3 minutes, if I got that, and maybe at night right before I close my eyes, but just it's an ongoing conversation. Lord, I don't know how I felt about that conversation. Lord, I wasn't feeling that. I don't know if I can continue going in it. Is this me? Is it them? But he's there in the midst. So make God central in all your plans in life and acknowledge him in everything you do. Otherwise, you're boasting about something that ain't yours to control. So you're making plans almost like an atheist. There's no God. There's no need to ask his will. I can do what I want. And that just ain't true. And many of us walk through life like that and then go back to God when it all goes wrong. Last lesson we get from this passage. And hopefully it kind of clears up, like brings down some of the anxiety. I don't know which way to go. None of us do. But we're walking with God in the midst of it, asking him for wisdom and discernment as we go. But you'll never get discernment and wisdom standing afar back. You've got to get into the game. So you got to join in the life. You got to make a decision. And then let God lead you on your way. Last thing, number 5, your life is ultimately to be a blessing. What is God's will for your life? To become more like Christ. In whatever job, in whatever city, in whatever relationship, that's his ultimate aim. And he'll use all of those things to contour you to the shape of you looking like Christ with your hair, your eyes, your skin. And the more you go along, you'll develop the aroma of Christ with him through the circumstances of life. But you won't do that by avoiding all pressure, as we used to say, hurt, harm, and danger. I'm just going to eat. Oh, what are those in the airport? Those escalators, those flat ones? This is what you think about discipleship with Jesus. Okay, I get on the escalator with Christ, and then we just go, and then, ding, I'm going to become Jesus. No. No. That's not how it happens, okay? His ultimate aim is for you to be a blessing. He says, remember that even though your life is short, remember it is a sin to know what you ought to do and then not do it. The biggest thing we really struggle with is not knowing the will of God. Not knowing. 99 times out of 100, we know the right thing to do. We just choose not to do it. And he goes, no. Your ultimate aim is to remember that your life is short. It may get derailed. It's uncertain. But no matter what happens, do what you ought to do. Do what you ought to do. Okay? So that simplifies a lot of our decision making. When we take bold risks, a philosophy I've kind of embraced for my life is this: vision, rhythm, and action. Develop a vision. Ask God for a vision. Think bigger than what you're even comfortable with. That's biblical. Vision. Okay, I got a vision, I got a dream, I got a desire out there. Now, what's your rhythm going to be? What are your daily habits? What are your things that are kind of moving you in that direction? And as you go along, you're going to have to take some bold action. It's going to be scary sometimes. You're going to have to confront your fear. You're going to hit what some people call an upper limit problem. You're going, this is uncomfortable. Yep. And God's going to push you right there to the edge and go, come on. We got to keep going. Or comfort zone. You got to get outside of your comfort zone. So you got vision, but you have a rhythm and you take bold action. And then God goes with you. So no matter what, do what you ought to do. But may your life be a blessing. May it be a blessing. May the people that encounter you go, man, he transformed my life. If you're in the band, you can come back up. We're going to take communion here in a second. That should be our ultimate goal. That as I go to work, as I'm with my family, as I'm in my community, they experience something, not because I'm so cool or I'm so good, but because I'm walking with Christ, I'm trying to act like him with other people. So watch. It doesn't matter if you've got a year left to live. You can be a blessing. Don't let the shortness of life stop you from being a blessing to others. And it might even be in just having the confidence that God is good no matter what. So if your life is not where you want it to be or thought it should be, don't let that stop you from caring and loving and forgiving and motivating and inspiring others. So it don't matter. Man, this ain't what I thought it was going to be. Yes, we all know that. We all feel that. But my ultimate aim is I want to do what I ought to do. Love God and love others. So as we take communion, here's what, man, reflect on that. Some of you need to confess and just give it to God. God, I got a lot of disappointment. This ain't what I thought it should be. But Lord, I thank you for the grace to have another day. Because of your God, because of your grace, I get another day. And even though this ain't what it should have looked like and what I thought it was going to be and hard stuff has happened, you've given me mercy. The fact that I'm still here, I didn't go off the deep end. I didn't go crazy. Lord, thank you. Give me another shot. Let me be a blessing. Some of you need prayer. So we got some people in the back that'll pray with you to encourage you, no matter what it may be. So my plea for you today is this. My plea for you as you prepare for communion and as we go for prayer, make plans with God. Let God guide your decisions about who you date, who you marry, what job, what career you choose. Don't wait. Don't vacillate. How you plan your week, how you plan your day. Go with confidence. And if the plans change, I'm asking you that you will still know that God is good and he's in control and that all things work together for good for those who are called according to his purposes. And he'll use whatever he has to get you to become more like him. So the pain, but he's a good, loving father and he's doing what he's supposed to. Amen?
Amen.
Let me pray for you. Jesus, I am grateful for your kindness towards us. It could be easy to just go, man, these wild and crazy folks, man, let them do what they want to do, but you're not like that. You're a good, good father. And me as a father, I want good things for my kids. And Jesus says, how much more do our Father in heaven want good things for our children? James even told us, man, every good and perfect gift comes down from the Father of lights. He's got no shadow of shifting or changing. And so, Lord, I just pray that we would remember that as we go about our days, our weeks, our months, our years. When plans go awry, when things don't work out as we thought they should, or if we're just sitting on the sidelines saying, God, give me a sign, give me a sign, give me a sign. Lord, you're a good God who is patient and kind with us. So, Lord, help us to move towards you as we move together forward. James chapter 4 said, draw near to God and he'll draw near to you. Jesus, I pray that you would help us to draw near to you as we move forward into the future that you are designing for us and with us. We pray all of this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you so much for joining us on the Gallery Church podcast. I want you to take the message you just received and allow it to go deeply into your mind and heart. Let Jesus, through the Holy Spirit, do the deep work that only he can do. I want to say thank you to everyone who gives to the church. Your gifts make this podcast and ministry possible here in Baltimore and other parts of the world. You can be a part of our work by going to gallerychurchbaltimore.com/give or by downloading the church app from the App Store. You can also subscribe and share these podcasts with your friends and family. Thank you again for listening or watching, and may God's grace and peace be with you.